The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
Let us pray. O God, our teacher and guide, you draw us to yourself and welcome us as beloved children. Help us to lay aside all envy and selfish ambition, that we may walk in your ways of wisdom and understanding as servants of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. Please be seated.
Jesus loves the little children of the world. The first reading is from Proverbs, chapter 31. A capable wife who can find, she is far more precious than jewels. The heart of her husband trusts in her, and he will have no lack of gain. She does him good and not harm all the days of her life. She seeks wool and flax and works with willing hands. She is like the ships of the merchant. She brings her food from far away. She rises while it is still night and provides food for her household and tasks for her servant girls. She considers a field and buys it. With the fruit of her hand, she plants a vineyard. She girds herself with strength and makes her arms strong. She perceives that her merchandise is profitable. Her lamp does not go out at night. She puts her hands to the distaff, and her hands hold the spindle. She opens her hand to the poor and reaches out her hands to the needy. She is not afraid for her household when it snows, for all her household are clothed in crimson. She makes herself coverings. Her clothing is fine linen and purple. Her husband is known in the city gates, taking his seat among the elders of the land. She makes linen garments and sells them. She supplies the merchant with sashes. Strength and dignity are her clothing, and she laughs at the time to come. She opens her mouth with wisdom, and the teaching of kindness is on her tongue. She looks well to the ways of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. Her children rise up and call her happy, her husband too, and he praises her. Many women have done excellently, but you surpass them all. Charm is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. Give her a share in the fruit of her hands and let her works praise her in the city gates. Word of God, word of life.
Thanks be to God.
Let us read Psalm 1 responsibly. Happy are they who have not walked in the counsel of the wicked, nor lingered in the way of sinners, nor sat in the seats of the scornful.
They delight
in the law of the Lord, and they meditate on God's teaching day and night. They are like trees planted by streams of water, bearing fruit in due season. With leaves that do not wither, everything they do shall prosper. It is not so with the wicked. They are like chaff which the wind blows away. Therefore the wicked shall not stand upright when judgment comes, nor the sinner in the counsel of the righteous.
For
the Lord knows the ways of the righteous, but the way of the wicked shall be destroyed. Glory be to the Father, the Son, and to the Holy Spirit. As it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. The second reading is from James chapter 3. Who is wise and understanding among you? Show by your good life that your works are done with gentleness born of wisdom. But if you have bitter envy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not be boastful and false to the truth. Such wisdom does not come down from above, but is earthly, unspiritual, devilish. But for where there is envy and self-ambition, there will also be disorder and wickedness of every kind. But the wisdom from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy and good fruits, without a trace of partiality or hypocrisy. And a harvest of righteousness is sown in peace for those who make peace. Those conflicts and disputes among you, where do they come from? Do they not come from your cravings that are at war within you? You want something and you do not have it, so you commit murder. And you covet something and cannot obtain it, so you engage in disputes and conflicts. You do not have because you do not ask. You ask and you do not receive because you ask wrongly in order to spend what you get on your pleasures. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Word of God, word of life.
The Holy Gospel according to Mark. Jesus and the disciples went on and passed through Galilee. He did not want anyone to know it, for he was teaching his disciples, saying to them, "The Son of Man is to be betrayed into human hands, and they will kill him. And 3 days after being killed, he will rise again." But they did not understand what he was saying and were afraid to ask him. Then they came to Capernaum, and when he was in the house, he asked them, "What were you arguing about on the way?" But they were silent, for on the way they had argued with one another who was the greatest. He sat down, called the 12, and said to them, "Whoever wants to be first must be last of all and servant of all." Then he took a little child and put it among them, and taking it in his arms, he said to them, "Whoever welcomes one such child in my name welcomes me, and whoever welcomes me welcomes not me, but the one who sent me." The Gospel of the Lord. On Tuesdays and Fridays during the each week, I am privileged to have an opportunity to do preschool chapel with our 50 children that we have at either on those days. And so this half of the sanctuary is filled up with those little kids. I just love watching now as they've just started, especially the little two-year-olds who are trying to follow along with the sign language songs that the four-year-olds and the five-year-olds know so well. But my favorite part is at the end of the chapel time. I usually have a puppet, and I get down, and each of the children, as they come out, they get a hug from whichever puppet I happen to have that day. And some of the children even think that I'm real, and they step around from the after their hug from the puppet and give me a hug. And it just melts my heart. Those little ones with such innocence and such delight in being in this sanctuary. Jesus loved little children too. He watched the children in the crowds and along the way. He watched how children were treated by adults. And in the first century, actually until rather recently in our human history, infants and children were not very important. They were more like placeholders waiting for the time when they would become something of value. Maybe they would be able to be an extra hand in the field, or they would be able to offer something as far as bringing in some income to the family at some later date, or taking care of their elderly parents at some later date. But in the time that a child was, the infant and the child, they were worth nothing. They didn't have anything to offer. They were non-entities. It's sort of like a caterpillar that needs to be fed, but only until it becomes a butterfly. We're waiting for it to really be something. But Jesus liked children and saw value in children just as they were. It was probably very unusual for an adult male to have anything to do with children at all, even his own children, much less a child that wasn't his own child. Jesus was not like the person who said, "I love children. I love children especially when they cry, because then someone comes and takes them away." Jesus never asked the parents to take the children away. It was just the opposite. When the disciples were scolding people for bringing their children around Jesus, he was indignant. "The kingdom belongs to such as these," he said. "These little ones are full-fledged citizens of the kingdom of God. Not the future, not for later, but right now." We love children, but there's limits to our tolerance. Last week I was sitting in the gate area in Sioux Falls waiting for my plane to board, and a young mother came with a double stroller, and she was trying to convince the 2.5-year-old or the 2-year-old to get out and walk so that she could carry the infant. And the 2-year-old started to scream. Now, I'm not talking, you know, just a little crying, upset crying. I'm talking full-on, lung-breaking scream. And then the baby started doing the same thing as the older brother. And the people in the gate area were exchanging these glances like, "Oh, my God, I hope this woman is not on my flight." She was seated directly in front of me on the flight, and these two children screamed, not cried, screamed for 45 minutes of the 1-hour flight. There is a tolerance that we have. Children are innocent. They're sweet and playful and loving, but we know that they can also be noisy and demanding and self-centered. I don't think Jesus was holding up a child as an example of how we should behave when he took those children or that child in his arms and blessed the children. He didn't say, "Imitate the behavior of a child." He said, "Whoever welcomes one such child in my name welcomes me. And whoever welcomes me welcomes not me, but the one who sent me." It's a pretty amazing equation, isn't it? How that welcome goes right to God. Do you want to spend some quality time with God? Well, get down on your hands and knees and play with a child. Don't worry about getting dirty. Don't worry about having to listen to the silly riddle for the umpteenth time. Of course you have other things that you need to do. Of course you have work that needs to be done, adult things. But a child is not a placeholder. A child has value right now. A child has worth. So as we learn, if you open yourself to a child, it's better for your soul
than getting a project finished or working overtime so that you might impress your boss or get a raise. There's no payback. There's nothing that you get in return. Well, you might get a hug or a slobbery kiss next time that child sees you, but you can't list that on a job application. You can't ask a child to loan you $100 so you can get your car fixed. A child is good for nothing. She's not in charge of anything. He won't buy you a birthday present or take you out for dinner. A child has no status, no income, no influence, and that's what makes that child great in God's eyes. The child is just what you need. Thank you. I love living examples. And if you're working on your greatness, you have to look at, how do you act when nobody's watching? How do you treat someone who doesn't count for no reward? And that's what ushers you into the presence of God. There's Jesus turning everything upside down. Jesus is talking about the way things are in his upside down kingdom. In Jesus' kingdom, it's the little ones who are the greatest, the last who are the first. People who think they're in, or who think they're the greatest, are in for a great big surprise. Jesus, of course, isn't just talking about children. He's talking about the little ones in this world. The people who have no status, no influence, no income. These are the ones that he is daring us to welcome. These are the ones that he's inviting us to see God in our welcome. In Jesus' kingdom, greatness only comes to those with no ambition to be great. Jesus teaches this lesson, and you can tell it's a serious lesson. When they come into the house, Jesus sits down. That's the stance of teaching. It's like when my grandfather used to say, "Come into my study." You knew you were in for a lecture. We call our Bible readings lessons. This is the lesson that Jesus is teaching us today. And he was giving a lesson, a lecture, to his disciples. He sat down, gathered them around, and said, "Listen up. What were you talking about when we're on the road?" They didn't answer. They were arguing about who was the greatest, who's the most faithful disciple, which one of us is most likely to be promoted into first place, who's Jesus' most favorite disciple. Now, Peter and James and John were the first called, and they were the ones that Jesus usually invited to go special places that the others didn't get to go. Into the house when he raised the little girl back to life, up the mountain for the transfiguration. Peter, James, and John arguing now which one of us is the best. Peter saying, "Well, it's probably me because I was the first one to call Jesus the Messiah." And then they turn and said, "Yeah, but you're also the first one that he called Satan. Get behind me." Because they were refusing to want to enter into the conversation about Jesus' death. This is really important. Jesus had talked to them about his coming death before, and now he brings it up again, and they do what a lot of us do when we get into a conversation about something that makes us nervous or something that we don't really want to talk about. They changed the subject. They wanted to get as far away from the topic of Jesus' death as they possibly could. And Jesus says, whoever wants to be first must be last, last of all, and servant of all. That's what he told them. And that's when he used that child as a visual aid. They wanted to know who was the greatest, so he showed them about this high, no value, no income, no investment portfolio, unemployed, a nobody. God's instrument, the least of all, the very presence of God. So what is the good news in this lesson for us today? If Jesus would come into our midst and sit down, who would he take in his arms and tell us to welcome? Who is it that we are called to welcome? Who is it that doesn't have a voice, who has no status, who has nothing to offer to us? In welcoming that person, those people, who can give us nothing in return, we are welcoming God. In welcoming the poor, the homeless, the addicted, we welcome God. So forget about trying to be a great disciple. In Jesus' upside-down kingdom, there's only one way. Look for those who need a welcome. Go to that person, those people in our world who might be called worthless, and put your arms around them and say welcome to God. It's in welcoming the least that we welcome the Lord. Amen.